So what do you think heaven is going to be like? A great homecoming? A final healing? Youth restored? Skinny thighs? A piece of chocolate? Is heaven a place or just a state of mind? Is it real or something we just made up? There's an old preacher's story about a boy who stood on a windy hill flying a kite. He lets out more and more string. The kite goes higher and higher until it's just a dot in the sky. Finally, not even that. One of his friends walks up and says, "How do you even know there's still a kite there?" And the little boy says, "I know it's there because I feel it tugging on the line." I think that we know heaven's there because we feel it tugging at our souls. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "God has set eternity in the human heart." We know there is more than this life. We know there's something better than this. We just know it because God has written it on our hearts. I think that's why we have such visceral reactions when we look around this world and see how messed up it is. We know it's not right. We know it's not supposed to be like this. 9-year-old little girls in Arizona are not supposed to be shot and killed in the parking lot of a grocery store. And there's not supposed to be some other little child in Boston so desperately ill that he can't live unless he gets her organs. We know it's not right. When death tears us apart, when sickness eats away at our lives, when cruelty cuts deep paths into our hearts, not just because we've been hurt, but because we've been the ones to hurt. This world is messed up. It's broken. It doesn't work. And it bothers us because deep inside, we know there is something more, something better. God has written eternity on our hearts. Now, true, the Bible says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has the human mind conceived that which God has prepared for us." Language can't express, our imaginations can't contain what heaven will be. We can't yet see it or hear it or figure it all out. But in our hearts, we know. We know there is an eternity for us because God has written it on our hearts. So we have this fascination with heaven. It runs through the songs we sing, the movies we watch, the books we read. There are literally thousands of books on Amazon about heaven and the afterlife. And these songs and books and movies can sometimes give us some strange ideas about heaven. In the Bible, lots of scriptures make it sound like heaven is a place. A place where Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That's from Ephesians 1:20. It's a place with streets of gold, a place whose gates need never be shut. Gates in walled cities are shut defensively to keep enemies out, to keep and protect those within. Heaven is a place, the Bible says, whose gates are never shut because it's always safe. No one needs to be kept out. And Jesus says things like, "My kingdom is not of this world, but from another place." Or, "The kingdom of heaven is not here or there. The kingdom of God is in your midst." Are heaven and the kingdom of God the same thing? If the kingdom of God is where God reigns, where things are done God's way, isn't that heaven? It sounds a lot like heaven to me. When people are kind and caring and loving and generous. When the weak are protected and the hungry are fed. So we can get a taste of heaven right here. Right now, you and me together. The temple of God. The house of the Holy Spirit bearers in the world. We can live God-bearing lives. The Holy incarnate not just in Jesus, but in you and me, in him and her, in us and even in them. But beyond all this spiritualizing of heaven, Jesus teaches that there is a yet to be state or place or future that is outside the here and now. Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for us, a place with lots of room. Room enough for every tribe and language and people and nation. I think it's going to be a really great place. I think it's the place our hearts yearn for. I think, to us, it will feel like home. Listen to one of the descriptions of heaven that's found in our Bible. This from Revelation 21. I'm reading from the Message. I saw heaven and earth new created. Gone the first heaven, gone the first earth, gone the sea. I saw holy Jerusalem, new created, descending resplendent out of heaven as ready for God, as a bride for her husband. I heard a voice thunder from the throne. Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. They're his people. He's their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone, crying gone, pain gone. All the first order of things gone. The enthroned continued, look, I am making all things new. Write it down, each word dependable and accurate. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Heaven comes to earth. Heaven came to earth in a sense when Jesus was born. Heaven comes to earth in another sense whenever we live God's way. But one day, heaven will come to earth in a completely new and different way. One day, heaven will come to earth and stay. God's presence, that for us is usually distant and hidden as if by a veil, this nearness of God that we can sense only sometimes, one day will come to earth and to us in a new way. The passage says the first heaven, the one that's somewhere out there that we just dream about, and this first earth that's right here, right now, where we live, one day these two will come together. And it says there will no longer be any sea. Until very recently, the sea was a dividing place. It separated us from others. The sea was a barrier. So when it says there's no longer any sea, it means there's no more separation. Heaven and earth will be one. And this distance between heaven and earth that we know right now, that distance one day will be gone. The throne of God will be here, not somewhere out there that only the prophets can see in visions. God will be here. The earth will be remade, reoriented, recreated. And God will bring perfect and full healing and provision and relief. Finally, relief from the trials and pains and deep sorrows of life that we know in our souls are so wrong. For the Hebrew people, the sea was also a scary place. It was a place of terror and of known. The Hebrews were not known for their navy. They thought the sea was where demons lived, where Leviathan, the great sea monster, hid. But when heaven comes to earth, there will be no sea, no more evil, no more unknown, no more scary places, nothing to be afraid of. When heaven comes to earth, the gates need never be closed. So, what descends from heaven in these verses is a blessing, not a curse. When heaven comes to earth, it will remove fear, not bring it. Is that your theology of the last days? It's the one presented here. The passage goes on to say that God's dwelling place is now among the people. When people were created, Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world, the Garden of Eden, And the Bible says God walked with him there in that garden. And because of deceit and lies and disobedience and sin, all people, we were all banished from that garden. That free and easy fellowship with God that Adam and Eve were created to know was broken. And ever since then, I believe all of humanity has been searching to know God like they knew God then. To sense God more, to be more and more aware of God's presence, we long to go back to that garden for which we were made. And Revelation tells us that when heaven comes to earth, we will finally experience a great and perfect reunion with God. Not when we climb to heaven, not when we finally lived perfect and blameless lives. The scriptures say we'll experience this when God comes to us again, as God has come to us so many times before. One day, God will come, God will move into the neighborhood, and God will stay. Eden restored. And this new heaven come to earth isn't based on rules. It's based on relationships. Our relationship with God restored. Our relationships with each other healed. And when that happens, we will be finally and perfectly whole. We will be through seeking and searching and yearning and wanting. And the scriptures say God will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will be gone. The old order of things. The way we presently experience life with our own suffering, the suffering of those we love, the suffering of every person who has lived from Adam on, everything that robs us of joyful, fulfilling life will be gone, will be passed away, will distill away until all that remains is life as God has created it to be, and all things will be made new. Now, when we leave here today, some of us will still be sick. Some of us will still be heartbroken. Some of us will still be missing those we love. And when we get home, the headlines may well be full of another tragedy, another act of violence, another war, another terrible sickness. And we will recoil at that news because in our hearts, we know it's not right. But through all of that, and through all of this, we can remind each other to hold on to our faith, because there will come a day when all this mess ends. And all that remains will be a better place, a place Jesus has prepared for us, a place of union with God and reunion with each other, a place where love dwells and Jesus is. There will come a day. Even so, come quickly. Amen. Do y'all feel it tugging at your hearts? Do you long for that day? Would you please stand? May you go this week looking with your eyes toward heaven, toward God, and our home. Amen.